So do we want to talk about that some more or not?
We can't. No, that's fine. I was just saying how I...
Well, to be honest with you, the 36th Psalm is not the greatest Psalm in the world to teach out of. But we've been going through the Psalms.
Let's skip it then.
Oh.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, Psalm 36 is kind of it's pretty similar to 35, but it does turn around, and that's what happens with David. We realize that David, in his life, he went through a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, when God said that David was a man after his own heart, to be honest with you, David was a man just like the rest of us. You know, we go through a lot of ups and downs and a lot of victories and defeats. But yes, ultimately, yeah, as we realize that in Christ we are complete, and in him we have a surpassing victory. Yes. What we have to do is try to get ourselves to realizing that in him we live and move and have our being. Yes. And when we do that, then the other thing has to bow its knee to that, you know. Praise the Lord. Okay, somebody want to lead us in prayer this morning? How about you, David? How about you leading us in prayer this morning?
Oh, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be together in fellowship around the Word. Lord, we just open our hearts now, open our ears to be receptive to whatever the Spirit would say to teach to us, that we might flow one with another in the Spirit, and that there might be an exchange from one heart to the next of the abundance of your Spirit that is within each one, and of the gift that you have placed within each one. And so, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Magnify your name. Yes. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Yes.
Psalm 36. Debbie, how about you starting off reading? Read kind of loud so you can get picked up on the mic, if you would.
About 36:1. You just want me to read one?
No, just you can read. Okay. You can read a few verses down.
The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil.
You know, when you think about that, the transgression of a wicked saith within his heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. You know, any time that someone is functioning in the carnal mind is an enmity to God, and it can't know the things of God, and it doesn't want to know the things of God.
Yes.
Because it's self-absorbed. It's all about self. And you know, I think that the only thing that really can tend to break that, because in verse 2 it says, he that flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. And I think a lot of times, until we come to the realization of that we are operating in self, you know, and that's a hard revelation, because, you know, one of the things that I've found over the years is that usually when you have a revelation of God, it also brings a revelation of self. And it's not usually a real pretty revelation at that point, a lot of times, of yourself, because you realize, you know, it's like when he had his vision of God, you know, and he basically fell down and said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, you know. And, you know, I think a lot of times we realize how great he is and how little we are, but that also makes us draw close to him, because we realize that in ourself life, that we can't really please God. We can only please Him as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis, and as we look to Him for all things, you know. And, you know, I think, you know, people out there in the world, a lot of times, you know, you deal with people who have a real carnal attitude, and, you know, what tends to happen is they tend to resent you because they see the light of God in you. But yet, a lot of times, that very thing will be the revelation that they'll begin to see God, and they'll begin to realize that they aren't in a place that they need to be, you know, and that if they'll seek after the Lord, then He'll be found, you know.
My Bible down here in the footnotes says the term oracle was used by the prophets of the Old Testament to mean a divine utterance. In Micah 4:6, the same Hebrew word is part of says the Lord. In this psalm, David the prophet has received a prophetic revelation as striking as any among the sons of the prophets. He has received divine insight into the nature of wickedness, which is no fear of God. Underlying wickedness is a complete disregard for the reality of God in a person's life and in the world.
That's good. Well, I think a lot of times, like I say, you know, there's a part of every man that really knows and realizes that God's real. They can deny it all they want. And, you know, I've thought a lot of times about that Madeline Murray O'Hara, who, you know, spent most of her time trying to get prayer out of schools and all that kind of stuff. And you would think that her children raised under that situation would have been just like their mom. But then one of her sons ended up being a Christian. So God, you know, God can reveal Himself anytime to anybody under any circumstance if He wants to. And, you know, I don't know what in the world ever happened to her, because
she died.
Did she die or she just vanished? I don't think they ever could find her or anything. Yeah, she just got gone, and they weren't really sure exactly what happened to her. But maybe God took her to the other side and loved on her a little bit, yeah. Translated her. Let's hope that's what happened. praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Anybody, anything they want to say? Please jump right in there, anybody. Okay, let's go a little further. Kathy, how about you reading a little bit today? Pick up where Debbie left off.
Sure. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. I wanted to know if Mike would read that same. I was looking at the Message Bible. It's really great. Verse 5. Start at verse 5.
Okay. God's love is meteoric. His loyalty, astronomic. His purpose, titanic. His verdicts, oceanic. Yet in His largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks.
That's good.
Isn't that great?
You know, I was thinking, you know, years ago one time the Lord drawn me to this Isaiah chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is basically part of what Jesus said when He started into His ministry. Because He hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek, and He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound. And He stopped there. But it goes on and says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God. And the time that the Lord really drew me to this, I felt like the Lord was telling me, how am I going to get vengeance? And He said, ask me. I felt like He said, ask me. And I said, okay, Lord, how are you going to get vengeance? And you got to remember, his ways are above our ways, mm-hmm. as far as the heavens are. And he said, we'll read the next verse. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, that's how I'm going to get vengeance. I'm not going to get it the way you think I'm going to get it. You know, I'm not going to get it the way they're proclaiming it out there, by destroying everybody and casting them into hell for eternity and all this kind of stuff like it's being preached. I'm going to comfort all that mourn. I'm going to point unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And why is he going to do that? That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And why is he going to do that? Mm-hmm. That he might be glorified. Yes. And that's what it's all about, him being glorified. But he's going to be glorified in his people, in his creation. Mm-hmm. You know. And they shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall prepare the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And who is that? That's the people that are called the trees of the Lord. And I love that song that we used to sing. We don't sing it as much anymore. Thank God I'm a tree planted by living waters. Yes. My leaves shall not wither. My roots go down deep. And all I do, God said I'd prosper. We're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by him. And you know what? We become the trees of his righteousness. And you know, if you look in Revelation, you'll see that on the side, there was two trees. There was one on either side of that crystal stream that proceeded out of the throne. And I got news for you. You're part of that tree. You've been engrafted into the Word of God, you know. And it's on, I believe it's on this side and it's on that side, both, you know, of the veil, if you'll have it. And you know, he wants us to be a fruitful people. He wants us to have the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, all those things, that when people see that fruit, that they desire it. Yes. And you know, yes. I think he called it fruit of the Spirit because literally everybody likes some kind of fruit. Mm-hmm. You might not like apples, but you might really like oranges. You might like oranges, but you really like watermelon, or you like this, or you like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because why? Because it's so refreshing. Because it gives you energy, and it refreshes you, and it kind of revives you when you eat fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's so good for you to eat it. You know, I'm a grape person. I love grapes, you know. I've told you the story of when I was a kid, I used to climb over into the place next door to me, and they didn't do anything with their grapes. I'd eat the green ones. They were purple grapes. Green grapes are about as sour as you can get. But I'd try them. And you know, that's why even in the fruit in people's lives, we have to keep tasting, keep mm-hmm. tasting, keep tasting, and see that the Lord is good. And he's good in their life. They might not be to full maturity yet, mm-hmm. but if you'll keep tasting, eventually you're going to get some sweet fruit there, you know. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I feel like that's the way he's going to get his vengeance, by comforting all that mourn, by giving unto them beauty for ashes, by doing all those things. And why? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And that's what this is all about him being glorified in his people. And that's what he's going to do. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Please jump in there. All right.
Well, I love that verse 7.
Yeah, go ahead.
I never quite got down that far from reading it. For your shame, you shall have double. Mm. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Mm-hmm. Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's every man.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, if you go over on in Isaiah, and we've all heard that song, Beulah Land, and that's been depicted as being heaven and all this, and but actually the word Beulah literally means married. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you throw seed into the land? You marry it. And what happens? You bring forth a harvest. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Yes. The seed of the word of God came into us, and it can't bring forth anything. Each seed after its own kind, it can't bring forth anything but God. And we have to begin to acknowledge that and to believe that. And as we do, I believe that we'll begin to see it more and more in all of our lives, you know. Praise the Lord. Okay. Where do we get down to? 7? So how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And we all know, you know, was it Psalm 91, I think it is, where it talks about he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, and as we abide under the shadow of his wings, and those wings are the wings of prayer and praise. As we abide under that, under those wings of prayer and praise, then they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Wow. That psalm kind of turned around a little bit there, doesn't it? From from that first part. But you know, we have to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And as we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, a change takes place, a birth takes place. You know, in Mary, in Matthew, when the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, what happened? The thing that was conceived in her was the Son of God. And as that Spirit of God overshadows us, the thing that's conceived in us is the Son of God, that same nature. You know. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got anything else? It goes on and says, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. And you know what? A lot of times we have to walk in the light as he's in the light. And then we'll see things clearly for what they really are. And a lot of times when you see things for what they really are, they're entirely different than what your first impression was. Yes. Entirely different. You know, a lot of times a lot of people are in a situation or circumstance that they're in because they of where they've been, you know. And when we come to realize the hurts and the things that's happened in people's lives, then what we can do like it says in the book of Joel back there, where it talks about them running as mighty men and climbing the walls, and we've discussed that before. You can climb the walls in people's lives when you can see what's on the other side of the wall. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we wonder why we've went through situations and circumstances that we've went through. And a lot of times God has allowed us to experience those things so that we can know what's on the other side of the wall, where that person is. Mm-hmm. And we can climb over and show them the love of God. And we can climb over and set them free and release them. You know, praise God. Y'all quiet today.
Okay. Psalm 17, I like what it says. It says, show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. I always remember Ben used to say he was the son of the right hand.
Yeah, Benjamin. Yeah.
He's from the child of Benjamin. Right. It says, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. And that means greatly cherished and diligently protected. Yeah, that's what I want. For sure. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. He goes on, but I like that apple of your eye. I like that.
One place in the Old Testament where he talked about Israel being the apple of his eye, it literally had the meaning of little man of the eye. And, you know, one time when the Lord was dealing with me about that scripture, my sister was telling me that her little grandson, you know, they lived with them. And she said a lot of times she'd wake up and he'd be in the bed. And he'd have his nose right against her nose and his forehead right against her forehead. And she said, when she'd open her eyes, it actually would startle her a little bit because he would just be right up in her face. And you know, when we realize that when you get up close enough to really look into somebody's eyes, the little man that you see in the eye is you. And when we draw up close enough to God and we look in his face, the little man that we see in his eye is us. And, you know, in Hosea, where he says, he talks about in Hosea, about us falling on to know the Lord. Let me go back and read that to you. It's, Hosea, let me read it to you. It's so I don't misquote it here. Hosea chapter 6, it says, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." And that word for sight there, is that's not a real good translation of that. It says, "And we shall live in his face." And I'm telling you, if you live in his face, guess what? When you look in his eyes, who are you going to see? You're going to see you. And when we realize what God's doing, he's bringing us to a place where he wants us to see him as he is. And when we begin to see him as he is, we'll realize that he's a many-member body, that he dwells inside of all of us. You know, praise God. Okay, anybody else? We'll go on a little bit further. "Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me." And you know where the foot of pride usually dwells? Inside your shoe. Inside your shoe. Because I'm telling you, pride will bring us down. Because a lot of times for a lot of things in pride, we won't do something that we know we should, or we won't apologize to somebody, or we won't make something right because we're too proud, you know. But I want you to know that sometimes that foot of wickedness is right inside our own shoe. That foot of pride. "Come against me and let not the hand of the wicked remove me." And that usually is our own hand too. "There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise." And I tell you, our prayer should be every day in us, "Lord, cast down that spirit of wickedness in us, that your presence might be seen, that your spirit might be magnified and glorified in our midst," you know. And, you know. Anybody got anything they want to say? Praise the Lord. Well, guess what? We're going to stop. But that psalm starts off pretty pretty rough. But, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, and he started off, a lot of times he was up and down just like we are, you know, at times. And we all have times when we kind of go down in the mully grubs and, "Oh God, where are you? My enemies are really coming against me." But we realize that he's gained that surpassing victory if we'll just acknowledge him and allow his spirit to rise in our midst. Yes. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Mike, how about you closing the word of prayer for us?
Lord, thank you for this day.
Amen. Praise the Lord.